Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Adrian's Phelim and Felspar encountered simulacra of Anya Whittlesby and her late mother, Anaya, who had no knowledge of the party or of Anya's life in Clovenheart. They also discovered that Sorrel is safe and believes she is someone named Edel. Spar confronted Graham Whittlesby and made him understand how monstrous and pathetic it was to create false, simplified versions of his family for his own comfort. The emotionally defeated Graham gave Spar one of the three stamps they need to enter the Zong archives and find Sorrel. Two more stamps await, and the adventure continues. Church slash boarding house, a lot of slashes in that description. Mm-hmm. And we've just pulled off Grant Whittlesby. And we got a stamp on our stamp card to get into the archive. Sorrel's body has just left the room recently. And we have Jack's collar. What are we doing?
Spar just did a whole bunch of stuff, especially last episode. So I'm letting Ela take the lead here if you want it. Otherwise, I can start spinning stuff up.
Phelim is going to look to the group and say, who's next on the list? Who else do we need to get stamps from? And do we know where to find them?
The next one probably is going to be Josepha at the Gatineau estate, evidently.
Mm-hmm. And Ela would know, or sorry, and Vela would know where that is, because it's a pretty prominent building in Stoneloft. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, which I might be, I'm going to pull up my map, it's not very far from where you are. Because I believe you guys would be on the first layer of Stoneloft, of which there are three, and the other person is the head librarian, who would be on the second layer.
Okay. Let's head to the Gatineau estate. Everyone, keep your eyes peeled. Stay on your toes. Who knows what we'll find.
Do we give Jack his collar?
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because he's got the magic being able to talk from last time, but that has a limited amount of time, I'm sure. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Spar nails to buckle it on for him.
And he says, what should Jack sound like? So Jack has different collars that have different voices. I guess he would sound like whatever sounded like in episode one, which I think was a pretty close mimicking voice. So he's going to say, thank you very much, young man. Much appreciated.
Spar very seriously shakes Jack's paw.
Y'all.
He very, very seriously shakes her paw back.
Now does Jack recognize Spar, or was he just being polite?
Oh, he was just being polite.
Okay. I was a little worried for a minute there.
Oh, no,
that
sorry,
maybe
sorry.
Jack didn't know who Spar was.
He does, okay. I promise.
Cool.
Okay. So we're heading to the Gatineau estate?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So I think I actually probably just lied to you all about where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually are in the second layer. So the way Stoneloft is kind of organized, you do have these three layers, which are just like higher elevations on this cliff that have paths, both elevators and walking paths, to get to the next layer. And it is like walled off, like the edge of the cliff, so you know nobody falls off, and also for defensive reasons. Kind of really off in the corner of the second layer, like the furthest building out of town. And it's still among like some houses and stuff, but that is where the Arms of Alma sort of lodging quarters is.
Mm-hmm.
you honestly have a bit of a walk or commute to the library, and then even further down to the front of Stoneloft, which is all the way across town, is going to be where the Gatineau Estate is. The Gatineau Estate is one of the first buildings you would see when you enter Stoneloft. And so when you walk outside, this is your first time being in Stoneloft in the day. And at night, it's lit by all this bioluminescent plant life, both in the form of fungi and like these like blossoming flowers. Both of those things kind of like, with like the flowers kind of close, like, you know, like plants that close and open during different cycles. They close and turn off essentially during the daytime. But they're still everywhere. Like there are, instead of like street lamps, there are these plants. Almost as soon as you head out, there is a rumble throughout Stoneloft, like a minor earthquake.
Spar does the mom armbar across the chest at Vellum.
It's not serious enough to harm anybody. But the weirder thing that happens is the sky darkens just a touch, almost like a cloud passing over the sun, but it's not cloudy. And as you two look up, there is now a very thin, purplish, blackish dome around the city of Stoneloft.
I've got bad news, everyone. We've entered the Thunderdome. I haven't actually seen that movie, but
It's the only Mad Max I have accurate. Not seen. Jack nods very seriously.
It was rumbling. It's a dome. It just, it seemed right. It does have a kick-ass song, though.
How far in the sky is this? Is this, like, up, like, impossibly high to reach? Or is this something that, in theory, you could shoot?
That one. You could shoot it.
Spar wants to pick like a clear direction where he's not going to shoot civilians and try to shoot the dome.
Okay.
What if the bullet bounces back?
If it bounces back, it should have lost enough of its force that
Okay. I have a question. Are you using a regular gun or are you using your magic gun?
I'm using my magic gun. I asked Gambler for something that can hurt Pride and Prejudice, and they gave me this gun, so I'm gonna assume that it can hurt them.
All right, I guess roll me a d6.
That's not what I was expecting, but yes, that makes sense.
If it does work, then that means your shirt will fall open, and everyone will swoon, like you are Mr. Darcy.
Yeah.
Men turning gay.
There are no non-men gay in this podcast. Not gay men in this podcast.
Two.
Two? Okay, great. You don't have to flip anything else. The gun just goes off. Bullet sails through the air. It leaves like a silver streak behind it. Like a trail, like a vapor trail on like a plane. So you can like very visibly see where it makes contact with the barrier, or with the dome, and it. What does happen? Hold on, let me make a decision.
Silver was the color of the gambler, right?
Correct. It. I guess it hits it. It hits the dome, and like the dome flickers out for a second and then reappears.
Spar nods approvingly at it, spins the pistol sort of like around his finger, like cool guy style, and holsters it.
Max applauds politely. And she says, that's a bit ominous.
Does the dome appear to cover the entirety of Stoneloft?
Yes, including, I would say, like, I don't know, a few yards outside of the walls as well.
Okay. What about...
Wait, since you're kind of high up right now, could you give me, like, in terms of elevation overall, could you give me a... either of you, give me an intelligence investigation?
Would love to.
That would be 5 cards from me. Is that better for you?
4 for intelligence, 2 for investigation, and 1 for eclectic.
Nice.
All right, we got a king of diamonds and a jack of hearts.
Nice. 2 successes is good. Adequate, I would say. If you're to do some quick, like, dome math, geometry, some might say, but I prefer dome math. And kind of actually put together that probably around where the dome ends is where yesterday's problem suddenly stopped and people were whisked out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
As in it stops before it gets to the car?
Like, right there.
Okay.
Like, it this has made visible a barrier that was already there.
Correct.
Okay. So my idea was to also test out Velum's new gadget and to try using the talisman function of the Tetra threat.
Mm.
Since it is supposed to be able to be used to protect against Providence and Pandemonium,
mm-hmm.
and also work as magical interference.
Right.
So I wanted to see if it would do anything, if it would react to this dome, if it would change how we perceive the dome, or anything like that.
Let me think for a second. So, no, in that it doesn't change how you perceive the dome. Also, the dome does not appear to be causing you any immediate harm.
Mm-hmm.
What I will say, your mind is like kind of overwhelmed by information, almost in the way that when you were in Spar's body and like how it felt to suddenly be able to hear magic, like probably very overwhelming at first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you feel a bunch of like your attention being tugged in so many directions by some sort of like telepathic like force like tickling your mind. And if you would do me the honors of an I'm gonna say wit arcana to sort of sort out this information, you might get something good out of that.
Okay. Wit is 3. Arcana is 4. And 1 for eclectic. Okay, we got an ace of hearts.
Okay.
Should I use some drive essay? What do you think?
I feel like Jordan sort of gave us that this would give us information, so I would use a little bit.
Okay. Let's drive a little. Hey, that's a 3 of hearts.
That's the name of the podcast!
That is the name of the podcast.
What does that bring you to?
That brings me to 5 successes.
Wow. Okay. So, you... And I'm going to say this is that Spar can see this, but nobody else really can. You see these yellow and silver, like gold and silver glyphs appear in front of you. And it's kind of like that woman doing math meme, but it's like literally like these physical arcane runes. And put another way, it's almost like in the Matrix when the computer guys are reading the Matrix, right? And it's like, there's a bunch of information before your eyes that are really just gobbledygook at first glance, but you realize this is like thaumaturgic symbols, the same kinds that you use to write spells. And as you like really focus on them, almost like a word search, you're able to find things that make sense to you in the greater mass of information before you.
Okay.
You realize that in a sense, you are looking at a map of Stoneloft.
Hmm.
But rendered almost like ASCII. And and the more you look at it, the more the things that are familiar to you stand out.
Hmm.
Basically, you are able to intuit where people are most strongly affected by Providence and Pandemonium's influence.
Hmm.
And within those pockets, if it's somebody you know, you even like get a name. You can like kind of, you know, identify who it is. And so
Okay. You
do see that Josepha is in the Gatineau estate, heavily under the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly in more ways than one, we don't know. You see Ishbala right next to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you see in the library, which you definitely know where it is. It's like one of the most important buildings. And you do see the name Skylar Finch.
Do I see Sorrel anywhere?
You do see Sorrel currently heading back to the Zong Archives.
Is the Zong Archives separate from the library?
Yes. So the Zong Archives is on the third level, and that is where there is literally only one person who's allowed there on a day-to-day basis, the archivist. The library is a building open to everybody who's a citizen of Stoneloft.
Remind me, in the last session, Sorrel thought she was somebody else. Did she think she was the previous archivist?
I don't know if we determined that.
Yeah, we did.
Great, we determined
what's his name? Saying Graham. Something about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I started to call him Grant, and I'm like, Grant isn't right.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sora believes she's the previous archivist.
Interesting. And can only Vellum see this, or can Spar see it as well?
Spar can also see this, but it doesn't mean anything to Spar.
Okay. Vellum is going to point out what he sees and what he recognizes to Spar, and then say, if we need to get the stamps in order to get to the archive, I suppose we should go to the Gatineaus first and then come back to the library, since the library is closer to the archive, if I'm understanding correctly.
Super correct, yeah.
Okay. That way we're not running across town and then back across town again.
And also, I would like to have Josepha with us if we can.
Hmm. Okay.
Max pulls out a... what would she have? It wouldn't be like Spar's little notebook. It would be more like a composition notebook kind of thing. And she is scribbling a to-do list, or has a to-do list already scribbled down. She says, I believe we were also potentially interested in talking to Gladia, mm-hmm. who would be on the way to the library. Or down, heading downtown. So you're seeing like down the mountain. So seeing Josepha, like on the way to Josepha also.
Is, Spar can't ask this question. Maybe Spar asks it as, is Gladia visible on this map?
Negative.
Okay.
And we're not sure if that means that Vellum isn't familiar enough with them to ping, or if they're just not here?
There's a third thing it could mean with five successes. I will just let you have this. It also could mean they're not under the influence of Providence and Pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So it's only showing the people who are influenced.
Right. So like you and Max and Spar and Merafina and Jack are not on the map.
Okay.
But Ishbala standing right next to us is.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Yep.
Is Graham on the map?
No.
No. Because we broke him out of it?
Graham was never in it.
Oh, that's right.
Graham's just garbage.
Okay.
He didn't need divine assistance to be a piece of garbage.
Okay. So, shall we head to the Gatineau estate, and if we see Gladia on the way or on the way back, we could stop in?
Yeah, let's try to get Zem on the way.
On the way to the Gatineau or on the way back, or just in general, either way?
On the way to.
Okay.
Alrighty. That's another question. Sorry, we need to establish some things about this town. There is both public transit in the form of, like, a bus, and there's also, like, individual public transit, like taxis, but those are actually, like, in the form of bicycles with, like wagons in the back. You don't see, like, really any individual cars, and Velen would know that they're pretty rare here.
Mm-hmm.
So how are we trying to get to the Gatineau estate? I guess I just asked because I know that walking long distances is not Velen's favorite activity.
Right, but if we want to see if Gladia's in, maybe we walk there, and then from there...
Or we bus there. I think that would also be fine. Okay. Before we leave the map behind, I have a question, and I don't know that this is a Spar question, but it might be a question that, like, Velen thinks of. Are the people who are being manifested, do they show up on the map? Like, is there an Anya on this map?
Negative.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. No Anya, no Anaya. They're not on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Ooh, can I ask a Stoneloft question?
Mm-hmm.
Is there, like, a cool, what's it called? Not like a gondola sort of situation where that takes you between the different levels?
Yes, there is.
Ooh. Neat. Thank you. That's all I wanted. We don't have to take it now if that's not practical. I just kind of wanted it to be there.
Yep. And then there's also elevators between each level, too. Mm-hmm. It's a very accessible city.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yep.
Cool.
Can you both give me... doesn't feel like investigation, but is there a better way of just, like, general awareness?
Streetwise?
Yeah, give me either wit streetwise or wit survival as you guys are headed to the bus station.
All right, I have survival, so that's what I'm going to use.
I have streetwise.
Alrighty.
Should we both flip?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
4 for wit, 2 for survival makes 6, and we are not healthy, so it's going to stay 6.
Uh-huh. 3 for wit, 2 for streetwise, 1 for eclectic.
I have 1 success so far. I may use some drive pending what Ela gets.
I have 2 successes and a joker.
Mm.
I'm going to use some drive.
Okay.
1 drive. 2. 3. Worth it. All right. There's a queen of hearts.
Wow. Okay. So what's our total successes here?
5 from me.
2 okay. from me.
And a joker.
So, yeah. 7 and a joker.
All righty. So you reach the bus station, which is just, like, not a bus, like, depot, right? This is just, like, a little, like, bench and a marker for, like, you know, what route number this is or whatever. Although, Stoneloft's a pretty linear city, so there probably aren't, like, more than 2 routes. Maybe just, like, color-coordinated. There's, like, a red bus and a blue bus.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take the red bus, you open your eyes to the reality of our broken world.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the red light district.
Yeah. And yeah, they really party on the red buses. Anyway, as you get to the bus stop, there is on the sign about like schedule information. There's also like a just like a bulletin board for people to post stuff in town. And there are some people looking at the bulletin board on which both of you are able to spot this at the same time. Wanted posters depicting the two of you and Merafina.
Oh, good.
What's the... Well, I know the Joker is, never mind. But for Spar getting 5 successes, I'm going to say that... how could you get more information here?
A thing I would like information about, maybe, if it exists, mm-hmm. is like a hint or a clue towards a method of transportation that would be better, that would be less likely to get us arrested.
Love it, love it. Yeah. Yeah, because there are actually people at the bus stop that are, like, this is the Joker. They're like, they are looking at the bulletin board, and they're kind of looking at you two in the back of the bulletin board, and, like, they haven't uh-huh. quite decided whether you're the same people yet, but, like, they're really thinking about it. Mm-hmm. And I will say, down the street, there is one person in one of those wagons is waiting for people to get in. However, that's one, probably going to cost money, and mm-hmm. two, it's going to fit a maximum of 4 people, and maybe a dog.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I'm thinking, Ela.
Mm-hmm.
Is we have Vellum cast...
Makeover time, yes.
Yeah, either, I was going to say, either a... the equivalent of a disguised person or the equivalent of Pass Without Trace, whichever you or Vellum prefers. And we can do that just on the 3 of us. And then our associates, like, if that doesn't work out for whatever reason, those of us who are wanted can go in the rickshaw type thing, and then everybody else can go in the bus. Mm-hmm. But that is a backup plan.
Thank you so much for remembering the word rickshaw. Yeah. It's like, I know there's a name for these things, and they're big in India.
I remembered it earlier, but I mm-hmm. didn't have anything to say. I also wasn't sure if it would be called something else that I just wasn't familiar with. Anyway, I immediately was thinking of Vellum turning to Max and asking if he could borrow some makeup and trying to do a little bit of disguising himself that way. But the magic is probably faster and easier.
I really like the idea of makeup being potentially a spell component, and I would give you an extra flip for using it.
Ooh, yeah.
Like that. That's cute.
And then just for like the visual gag, I think this is like Spar clocks this and then immediately steps behind Ishbala.
Love it, love it.
Spar clocks what? The posters?
The posters and that we're being seen.
Ah, yes. Cool.
Give me a presence sneaking to cast this spell.
So Vellum is going to ask Max to borrow some makeup mm-hmm. and then turn the dial on the Tetra Threat to cast some magic.
All right.
And he said, presence sneaking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, wait, also, the Tetra Threat isn't connected to you being able to cast magic. You can just do that now.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and change it anyway, because I don't think we're going to use the talisman anymore at the moment.
Yeah, that's so valid.
What to put it on? Let's put it on Taekwondo in case we need to...
That's just a safe default, I think.
Yeah. In case we need to throw a punch to get out of here.
Do you want Taekwondo or do you want teleport?
Ooh.
Ooh. I can do both because I have 2 spheres now. 2 cores.
That's right. That's so true. Okay.
Cool. So we agree, so we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Presence is 3. Sneaking is 2. 1 for eclectic.
1 for makeup.
And 1 for makeup. If we ever do a brawn agility, I can do body and mind. We'll get there maybe one mm-hmm. day. That is an ace of diamonds.
Wow.
And a bunch of just numbers.
Ooh.
I'm gonna try driving a little. That is a jack of diamonds. And a king of spades. So that's nice. Three.
Three successes is quite good. What do you want to look like?
I think it's a different enough look, and it's one that Vellum is familiar with, that like it could easily be something that comes to his mind when he thinks I need to disguise myself.
Is it velvet?
Yes. Yes, it's velvet.
Can you describe that for the audience in case they haven't heard that one episode, the anniversary episode?
Yeah. So Vellum has styled his hair differently. You know, probably some of it is still kind of tucked behind his ear, but there's another part that is kind of fluffed up a little bit and covering part of his face in a seductive manner. Kind of thinking Jessica Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know how she's kind of got part of her face covered.
Yeah.
Adds to the mystery and intrigue there.
Mm-hmm.
There's some makeup. There's probably some eyeliner and some lipstick. Not wearing a suit. Perhaps wearing a more flowy outfit. Probably still pants because those are easier to move in. But like maybe they have wide legs, so they kind of almost look like a skirt. If they're kind of flounced about. Trying to decide what kind of sleeves or what kind of collar. Maybe like a V-neck silhouette on the collar and some kind of off-the-shoulder, like little sleeve. It's not a sleeve, but it's like the little cloth fabric that connects over your upper arm to where the V-neck would be.
A strap?
Yeah, it's like there's like a strap that goes across the upper arm, connecting to like a strap of a tank top where the V-neck would be. So it's got a little cutout for the
It's for a the cold shoulder.
Yeah. How's that?
Love it.
Definitely a different outfit than last we would have seen Velvet in the anniversary special, but here we are.
I do think that as the caster of the spell, if it's okay with Essay, you also pick what Spar looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Spar look like?
Here, I think what Spar would think of as possible options are family members, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay. If he could get by as like one of his parents or as Merim the First. But wow. Spar hates this.
Yeah.
He does not like this. The plan of disguising at all. He is not a disguised person, and like he is very sensitive, especially right now, about like selfhood and autonomy. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he would suggest those things if asked, but that's him thinking tactically and like not really thinking about the whole scope of magic. And so Spar is giving Vellum basically free rein. So you could make him look like someone no one has ever met. Here, you could make him look like a different race, as in species, or a different race as in skin tone.
Like Jessica Rabbit.
You could make him look like Jessica Rabbit. You could make him look like Bugs Bunny.
Or Roger Rabbit.
That too. He'd go for, yeah, it is his face is in Vellum's hands.
Oh, no. Where Vellum leans in and gives him a little peck on the nose. I think he's going to give Spar a hat that he could potentially use to kind of lower a bit over his forehead and like shadow his eyes. to maybe disguise himself a little bit. If this were like a Vellum dressing him up to go on a date, that would be a different thing. But if we're going for a disguise, I'm thinking either he puts Spar in like a really nicely tailored suit that's like fitted and styled more how Vellum would wear it than how Spar wears suits. Or putting Spar in some kind of uniform, whether it makes him look like a handyman or sort of a type of person that you don't normally pay that close attention to because they're going about doing their job. And unless you need to interface with that person, it kind of just goes past your periphery and you don't notice. Those are my two ideas.
He definitely wants the second one. And if possible, maybe even a uniform that could pass for military, for the military specifically of this, of Stoneloft's imagined era.
Okay. Then if that's all good, Vellum will aim for that.
Okay.
And do you change Spar's face, features, skin, height, race?
I don't think he wants to change much about that because I think that feels very invasive and personal. If anything, maybe he gives Spar like a black eye, like something to make his face look different. That wouldn't necessarily change his features. What do you think?
What were you gonna say, Jordan?
I said give him a big beard.
Yeah. I mean, I think like the whole purpose of this is to not get caught. So he would encourage Vellum to make him look different, to make him look like a different person.
Okay. Then Vellum will maybe change some of his features where if Spar has more of a round nose, then he makes it look pointier, or if he has like a very square jawline, then he'll make it softer, and just kind of try to change little bits here and there. So the end result is that he looks different. But if, like, I think he wants him to still feel himself. I don't know how much that would be possible or how much Spar will be looking in a mirror in this episode and next, but maybe giving him a beard as well, just for the fun of it, because I don't know if Spar can grow a beard, but he certainly doesn't wear one in the current timeline, so.
He definitely can grow one because he has a perpetual 5 o'clock shadow. Can we disguise his gambler pistol as a rifle?
Love it.
Good idea.
Alrighty. Merafina sort of flipped many successes to do this, sort of hijacks the spell when it comes to their own appearance.
Good.
And they look a bit younger. They have like olive skin and they have bunny ears and a little bunny whiskers.
Good.
They become a bunny girl. And they look, I say they look the most transformed in a way. Like they just don't even look anything like Merafina at all. You all successfully catch a bus without suspicion. Good job, team. Let's take that bus to the Metro. Evening, folks. My name is Jordan Quiverns. I am the host slash wingman slash GM slash bus driver on this here podcast. My pronouns are they, them. I'm on social media on Blue Sky at Jordan Quiverns or Instagram at Jordan and Quiverns, or preferably the Three of Hearts Discord called Many of Hearts. You can find a link to that in the description of this very episode. It's true. Look down. Well, wait, that's not how it works. unless you're watching, unless you're experiencing this podcast in VR. We are changing up how we do the mid-tro a little bit. Because I don't like coming up with themes for Agent Facts. So I am now asking them a question that they must answer as for their characters. But also, I will answer it as the NPC of your guys' choice. So the question is, what is your favorite thing about your hometown? What NPC should answer that?
Eli, do you have a preference?
I'm thinking either Merafina or Max. I think I'm more curious for Max.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's hear it from Max.
Alrighty. I gotta think about that, so I'll go last. Essay.
Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Marim Felspar. He uses he, him pronouns. Although, when disguised, he will probably answer to most sets of pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt. And Spar's answer to this question would be that in Clovenheart, everything is made of wood. In a way that Vasa Natura is more of a metal and glass sort of city. And that will always just feel a little colder to him. Ila.
Hi, this is Ila Alexi. You can find me online at Ila Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum, and we both use they and he pronouns. For my answer, or for Vellum's answer, I have two answers. The question was what he misses about his hometown, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So what he misses from growing up in his hometown that was a roving caravan is he misses being able to go new places and see new things on a fairly consistent and regular schedule. What he misses about his hometown that is now settled in the mountains is the hot springs. He quite enjoys taking a nice relaxing dip in the hot springs. So that's definitely always on his to-do list whenever he goes to Yueryang, is to stop by Meihui's hotel, inn. I don't remember what we called it, but
me neither.
She's got the hot springs.
Yep.
So
Max, her favorite thing about her hometown, which is actually Cindershore, is it's like she likes people. She's like shy, but she likes to talk to people and meet new people. And she likes the sort of centrally locatedness of Cindershore. A lot of people would pass through, and you get from, you know, you just meet people from interesting places. Stoneloft, other than having immigrants from these places called the Shattered Isles, is pretty isolationist. Even post-war, it's not great about welcoming people from outside. And so, yeah, there's not as much interaction with people from other cultures and stuff. So, yeah.
I can't remember if I asked this before or not, but do we know how Max lived after their mother died and like who raised them?
She was raised by an aunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that aunt was in Cindershore?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. That is why Gray made the decision that they made. Is that Max did have family to go to in a way that Vellum really didn't. So, anyway, back to the podcast.
Woo!
Woo! successfully gotten on a bus. We're heading to Gladia's neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The Glaberhood.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about Gladia. Z is a giant.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, pretty easy to spot.
Therefore, they're easy to spot.
So, you do find Gladia pretty easily. They tower
mm-hmm.
above most of the houses in the neighborhood at about 16 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they're
not above
it.
The houses, but how tall are houses?
Depends on the house, right? Are they single story, multiple stories?
A mix. Taller than some houses, not taller than all.
Yeah. Rule of thumb is like the inside of a house. Floors are usually between 6 and 9 feet.
Yeah. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Spar. You've probably mm-hmm. heard of, know stuff about Lydia because of knowing Jack. At least a little bit. You should probably know this, but probably have not seen this. That Gladia is an incredibly rare thing, and that Z is an altered giant, which you almost never see.
Mm-hmm.
And Z is a giant feline person. So cat fur, cat
big
ears,
cat
nose, the whole thing, big.
That's wonderful.
And Z is taking for a walk. There.
I thought you said Z is taking a nap and we could just all pile in and have a nice cuddle puddle.
Z is taking a walk with...
Okay. That was just my dream.
Yeah.
Sleep on a big furry friend like Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that could still happen.
Okay. We'll make it happen. We'll make Destiny big one day.
Z is walking a kind of like vaguely Komodo dragon looking reptile that is
excellent.
About the size of a large dog, like a Saint Dane.
What is this scaly dog's name?
Odious Rex.
Excellent.
Which basically means Stinky King.
Good. Love a Stinky King.
And who you see them like on the other side of the block from where you are, but like their head is sticking out above one of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jack just woofs at them.
Mm-hmm.
And Z like turns their head and like looks down at you guys from like over the building. And says, oh, I'll be there in just a second. And, like, hastens their pace, which causes, you know, minor rumbles as he rounds the corner. And you see them in all of their feline glory. And I'm going to say that Rex kind of behaves pretty dog-like and is, like, going around and sniffing everybody.
Good.
And will accept head pass if people want to give them.
Absolutely. That's a good dog.
Spar, how do you feel about pets you're not allergic to?
Lukewarm on this one in particular. I think Spar like allows himself to be sniffed
mm-hmm.
and might do like a single cursory head pat.
Okay.
But is not like reaching out to interact with this thing. That's Vellum's deal.
All right, I'm gonna flip a luck card
mm-hmm.
to see if Rex is like, oh hell yeah, this person who doesn't want to be interacting with me is my new best friend.
Correct. Black, it respects your boundaries. Red, it does not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a joker, and the jokers are not colored in this deck.
Oh,
so draw a second card.
Yeah, and it's going to be flavored by the Joker in some way.
Okay.
Okay, we got black, so not interested in a Joker. I think Rex kind of, like, backs away when you head pat and, like, kind of snarls at Spar a little bit.
Spar puts up both of his hands and I'm like, cool, not touching you. That's good. We're good here.
I thought Spar was about to snarl back.
I did think for some reason that essay was going to say Spar puts up his dukes.
Both of you, like, I can't be mad. Both of those things would be, in character for Spar. But he has massively chilled out after learning that Sorrel does not believe she is currently in danger. He just, like, cool. We moved that dial, like, all the way. He was, like, at an 11, and we're around, like, a 3 or 4.
Cool.
Okay.
Gladia sort of recalls Rex. And just realized Gladia would not recognize Vellum. Well, let me see, because Vellum still looks, like, more the same than anyone else does. So let me flip investigation for Gladia. My gosh.
Oh, and Vellum probably also removed his glasses.
Okay.
Which means maybe he can't see as well, but he's got him in his pocket. Because, like, it's so jarring to see someone that usually wears glasses without their glasses.
For sure.
So.
Mm-hmm. Two successes in a Joker. This Joker is not really going to, I don't think, affect anything. I just need it to be known that Gladia does not fully understand that Vellum is in a disguise and just thinks that this is an interesting look Vellum is trying.
Okay.
I mean, you know. Z's not really wrong.
Yeah. So, you know, Z greets Jack and Vellum enthusiastically. He's like, it's lovely to see you.
It's great to see you as well. How?
It seems how like Jack things? Is all right.
Yes. Out of curiosity, have you noticed anything weird about Stoneloft lately?
Z sort of looks around at just, like, people on the street, and looks back at you guys, and is, like, trying to vibe check you, and I'm just gonna ride that to success investigation and be like, we should talk inside.
That sounds like a brilliant plan. Let's do that.
And on the way over, Jack's just like, this is Agent Ishbala, this is Max Harrington, this is, oh wait, Lady. I guess Nat's with you. Wow. Mm-hmm. This is Nat, Cobblestone of the Bramble Guard. Nat looks kind of sheepish. And Jack's like, and this is. And, Marafina just says their actual name. Marafina. Mm-hmm.
Does Jack not introduce Spar? Does he just kind of skip over
him? Oh, sorry. And this is Marim Felspar. And Gladia says, oh! We spoke on the phone. Nice to meet you in person.
Lovely to meet you.
And yeah, Gladia leads you all to Zir House, which is like a 3-story house, but it's actually a 1-story house, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very tall, but it's made for giants. And so, sort of like a not as dramatic version of the way that, but still pretty dramatic, honestly, of the way that, like, some things are double-scaled for pixies. Like, this house is, like, triple-scaled. There's pixie-sized accommodations, there's, like, human-slash-halfling-sized accommodations, and then there are giant-sized accommodations. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's, like, various pieces of furniture of different sizes, which definitely gives it, like, a very kind of eclectic and strange look, but also, you know, I think probably not that weird in this world, and also is more welcoming than anything. Mm-hmm. There are photographs of probably the whole Cerulean sisterhood, so Jasper, Sanguinia, Jack, Nasir, and with Gladia and some of them. Mm-hmm. And
Arabella?
Oh, and Arabella. I knew I was forgetting somebody. A minor one.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a bunch of, like, wood carvings in the home, too. Of everything from, like, animals to, like, painted, as if it was like a vase with flowers in it, but it's all carved from wood.
Mm-hmm.
Does Gladia do wood carving?
Yes.
Cool.
And so did Sanguinia. Mm. Actually, I think Vellum would know this. Jack helps paint them sometimes.
Oh, that's cute. Does he put a little paintbrush in his mouth?
Yes, he does.
Oh, cute.
Sanguinia closes the door.
Are the wood carvings, like, life-size, considering they're a giant?
Yes. They're very big to you, yeah, for sure.
Cool.
I think the ones that Jack helped paint would probably be much smaller. They do some, what is to them, basically miniature work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although it might go the other way. Like, it might, because I Jack probably doesn't have a great deal of precision. He
might
be more helpful painting the larger ones.
You're so right about that. Yeah, so Gladia is like a very, giving host and immediately like makes sure everyone gets situated, offers you guys coffee. Do you take coffee?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You guys receive coffee.
Woo.
Coffee card?
Yes, you get a coffee card.
Yay!
And Gladia says, so I take it you're all aware that things are not well in Stoneloft.
It is a right mess of things here.
Agreed. And most people don't seem to agree. And I have really riled up some of my neighbors by insisting as such, so I'm being a bit more careful now.
We, I guess, alarmed the local constabulary enough that there are wanted posters for the three of us. And he gestures to himself, Spar and Merafina.
I see. And then, like, a client flicks in their head, and they just kind of, like, nod, but you don't know what they're nodding about. They're about you wearing a disguise.
Ah, yes. Have you seen any playing cards, by chance?
He tilts their head and says, no, I can't say that I have.
Okay. If you see any, and then Vellum describes what the ones that we've seen from the deck look like in very good detail that he would know for sure. And says, be wary of them. But also, I'm not sure how much they're in play in this town, considering Providence and Pandemonium kind of seem to have taken over a fair amount of the city.
Gladia says, I'm not familiar with Providence and Pandemonium. However, that makes sense. There is certainly a strange influence on this city. Z references an armband that is up like by on their bicep. It has like a neck and emerald in it. And he says, this is my wedding band that's given to me by Sanguinia. It protects me from all sorts of things. I'm assuming that's why I'm not under the influence of whatever is affecting people.
That would make sense.
Disturbingly, very upsettingly, someone has taken Sanguinia's wedding band from their grave.
Oh dear.
I've not been able to determine who it was yet.
Are they a matching set, or what does theirs look like?
It's the same, but it's a sapphire instead of an emerald.
Okay. We will be on the lookout for it. I've got a sneaking suspicion we might run into it.
Thank you. I've not been actively confronting what's been going on in town, only because, well, I have been keeping an eye out for Jack, and he kind of looks at Jack and says, I'm glad to have found you. And, well, it's deep. Almost everybody seems affected by whatever is happening.
The only person that we've encountered that hadn't seemed to be affected so far was Graham. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Spar.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me intelligence investigation?
Do you want to use We Come as a Pair?
Let's see. So for me, intelligence investigation would be 5. What would it be for you?
Intelligence is 4 if you wanted to use it.
Could we swap just one, or do we swap both together?
Oh, my investigation is 2, if that also comes into play. But
I think you swap the whole thing.
Okay. That would still be more cards. That's 6 instead of 5.
Yep.
Okay. I was thinking it was just one of the like base stats that switch. I couldn't remember.
I think Jordan let us do that, but I think the spirit of it is that you swap both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to do that. Would that trigger eclectic or body and mind or anything like that?
I've already used investigation, so I wouldn't get eclectic for it, and I haven't done any brawn and agility, so body and mind doesn't come up either.
I guess it might be moot. Would this be about somebody who I know?
Jordan? What do you think? Yeah, yes.
Okay, so then let's not use it because with sleuthing, that's also six cards for me.
That's right.
And we can only swap once per session. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So just in cases, since it works out the same either way.
Oh, by the way, cool. Yula, mark off one of your somatic spells for when you disguise everyone, because I'm guessing you didn't sit there and take 10 minutes to do it.
Yup.
All right.
Otherwise, we got to rewind big time.
I marked it off.
Intelligence is 1, investigation is 4, so that makes 5, plus sleuthing makes 6, and no healthy bonus.
But you do have a coffee card if you want to use it.
I do not want to use it right now because I got 3 successes, an ace, a king, and a jack.
Nice.
When you were in Graham's presence, you definitely noticed that he was wearing an interesting belt. And it is similar to the armband that Lady is wearing. Mm-hmm. And Graham Whittlesby's waist is about the size of a giant bicep.
Spar says, motherfucker.
Lady says, yes?
I know where to find Sanguinia's ring. Band. I know where to find Sanguinia's band.
Where?
Spar sort of tips his head at Vellum because Vellum like sort of just explained that Graham was unaffected. He says, Graham Whittlesby.
Ah.
You see Gladia's like jovial expression get like pretty dark. And he says, I have not trusted that man.
Seems wise.
He's been bringing that bridge thing here. It's been, well, an odd change. Suspicious one. The arms of Alma are a force for good in this city. I don't understand why we need another religion coming in and taking over.
We also take the time to explain how Bridge is connected to Providence of Pandemonium.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pride and Prejudice.
Lydia says, Lydia says, will it be a problem if I have Odious eat this person? It's not so
I don't see any problem extreme. With it.
Just as long as that doesn't interfere with getting the band back.
Lady nods.
If Odious will allow it, Spar will go for a pet, and if not, then he will keep his distance.
Flip presence empathy for dog pets.
Sure.
For lizard dog pets.
Her presence is 2 and empathy is 4. That is 1 success, 1 joker.
Okay. 1 success, 1 joker. I think they lick your hand.
Mm-hmm.
It is just like pretty slobbery, like really slobbery.
Mm-hmm.
Low stakes joker there for sure. Your hand is just really gross now. But they do like the pat.
Spar keeps a poker face about the slobbery hand.
Well done. I won't make that a deception check. Lydia says, is there anything I can do to help you?
Do you have any pull with the library?
Or the archive?
Before all of this, the answer would have been yes. With the library, anyway. Now, it's hard to say with whom I have pull. But I could do some digging for you if you'd like. People don't seem to remember me as much as they know me as well as they once did. But they do know me as the Sanguinia's partner, which gives me some amount of clout and respect.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably pull some strings to get something, if to learn something, if you need me to.
I explain to Spar the bit of history between Vellum and Skylar, so that he's aware that we may have problems getting a stamp from him, but he is also currently being influenced by Providence and Pandemonium, so who knows how that will shake out.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody, definitely not me, needed a refresher on what exactly the problem was there, what's the summary?
The summary is that Skylar used to be part of Yue Liang and then decided that knowledge should be only given to certain people and started trying to, well, actually, I think succeeded in doing it a couple times, stealing some books from Yue Liang and taking them to Stoneloft. And mm-hmm. when Vellum and Qing Zhao caught him trying to do it, that's kind of when they had the falling out. And I think Vellum may have told Skylar to never show his face again.
Mm-hmm.
Something along those lines, anyway.
Yeah. I think Spar fills in Gladia on, like, what the goal is, right? Like, he fills in the backstory about, like, we came here together. Ishbala is still under the influence. We're on our way to Josepha, who is under the influence, and Sorrel is in the archive.
Mm-hmm.
And Spar also explains to Gladia that it seems like Providence and Pandemonium is operating on a system of desire. It's trying to give people what they want. And he gives a couple of examples. Mm-hmm. And he says, but the part I am stuck on is I don't understand who or what wants Stoneloft to be in a war state, to be war ready. Why, if we're imagining, why not imagine peace?
Lydia nods and says, well, I can't say with certainty. I have two guesses.
Hmm.
Lydia just flipped to no stuff. And mm-hmm. got three successes, one of which was a Queen of Hearts. So,
pretty good. Nice. Good work, Gladia.
That's the name of the podcast.
Sure, good work, Gladia.
All right, Ela, we're going to need a whole new art for the cover. okay.
The spinoff series, Good Work, Gladia, coming
in
summer 2025.
And Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Gladia says, I have two guesses. One, I'm not sure how this is possible. Perhaps it has to do with this Providence and Pandemonium. Magic is reappearing in Stoneloft. Our fields, which had previously been going fallow because of some kind of magical, I don't know, the magic waning in this area, even in our soil, has resurfaced. Our fields are growing crops again.
Hmm.
Perhaps that has something to do with going back in time. But there's another thing. I used to host lunches for the Cerulean Sisterhood every now and then when they were in the area. And Jasper and Arabella would often talk about magic. Nerd stuff. And Jasper once referenced a common, I suppose, misconception that an illusion is most effective when you make it more, I'm going to say, believable in a sort of, not in a not okay, sorry, this is a bit complicated.
And I'm not always in a bit of realism rather than having everything be nice and peaceful and perfect.
Correct. However, Arabella argued that the people who think that believe that a peaceful and more perfect world is impossible, which Arabella disagreed with, and said that it is actually possible to create a more utopian sort of illusion or world. Why a Godex would have to resort to an imperfect one is beyond me. Mm. Unless the Godex is also operating under a misconception.
Mm.
see ads. But I do think that tangible elements are actually useful, which is why, for example, people have been digging up prop rifles, or not prop rifles, but ancient rifles, I suppose, to sell the illusion. We'd have to ask the Scotics themselves, I think, why they chose to do it the way they did it.
Mm-hmm.
What if it was the Gotics who believed that people were fundamentally bad?
Then, like Arabella suggested, they probably live under that misconception that the only believable world is one with flaws. One with injustices, violence. Jack speaks up and says, there might be a simpler and more infuriating truth to all this. If Providence and Pandemonium just gave everyone a perfect world, nobody would ever want to take the gamble.
Hang on, I don't follow.
Yes.
The Providence and Pandemonium's whole thing is like, draw from my deck of cards, it's a microcosm of life, and it can improve your life or make it worse.
So if everything was already peaceful, then why would people want to draw from the deck?
If they believed they lived in a world where they weren't at war, nothing was wrong, everything was happy, then they would have no reason to draw from the deck.
It's like a self-sustaining, like the way Empire always has to grow. You have to be conquering.
Exactly.
Okay.
And goddesses are powered by belief. And so if people didn't believe that Providence and Pandemonium had a purpose, they wouldn't have any power.
Now, you could argue that part of human nature is to never be satisfied no matter what. Like, even if you get the big house and the nice car, you eventually get to a point where you're no longer satisfied and you want an even bigger house and an even nicer car, etc., etc. But I understand where you're coming from.
I mean, to get more philosophical, though, I think that part of that has to do with the systems that we built in the world that wouldn't exist in this utopian society.
I personally have experienced having an adequately sized house and being satisfied like that.
Right. And to look at, like, just within the confines of the podcast, here we are, we're talking about themes here, people. And just in the context of the podcast, like, Spar and Vellum, unlike a lot of the characters in the show, don't feel tempted to draw from the deck. It's just not appealing to them. It's not worth it. So, I guess it's just, like, it's not inherent that no matter what, people are going to want to try to make their lives better through, like, these dangerous means, or that they would try to reverse the past anyway.
Specifically, what I was talking about is, it comes back to the Faustian deal with Mephisto. Like, that is, like, the bet that they make, is if Ariel can be satisfied, then he wins the bet, basically. But Mephisto is counting on him never being satisfied.
Right. And it's like, well, I think Providence and Pandemonium aren't even willing to take the chance that, like, they're not willing to risk the idea that someone might not be satisfied and just take the deck anyway. They want to, if people are proposing now, is that they're not taking any chances, you know, as much as they talk about chance. They're creating a system where people are always going to depend on them.
And I imagine it's also more thrilling to have that, wanting people to draw from the deck and seeing what happens.
Exactly.
Put it another way, Stoneloft being in wartime isn't a product of anybody's desire. Providence and Pandemonium has artificially put Stoneloft in a worst time period so that people will want to interact with it. Is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To put it even simpler, Providence and Pandemonium is a bitch.
It just makes me want to go back and re-listen to early 2000s power metal, specifically Camelot, spelled with a K, They have two albums set that is the story of Faust in musical form. It's quite good.
As I seem to have a problem with my perfect summary of the situation.
Yes, it is simpler, but it is somewhat less detailed.
I think as people sort of sit in these revelations and, yeah, what they might mean for Stoneloft and the fight against Potter at the Pandemonium in general, we're going to start in the episode. But I want to do something that I haven't done in a while, and I want to check in on what are Spar and Vellum thinking as we kind of end things here, as they process this information.
I do want to say for the record that Spar tells, or has Vellum tell, Gladia about how to snap people out of it. I want Gladia to have that information.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Spar, how are you feeling?
Angry. Spar's angry at Providence and Pandemonium. Spar is angry because he has argued with a lot of gods whose positions don't hold up under scrutiny. And he's angry about having to continue to fight with... He's thinking of them in this moment, at least with as people. He's angry about having to continue to fight with people whose logical premises don't hold up. And... who seem to be lying to themselves. But he is like taking notes in his little detective notebook. And so like, there's a part of him that is in the more comfortable mode of I'm working a case.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spar, a case against goddesses. a case against goddesses by Miriam Spar, Felspar. Ela, how's Vellum feeling?
I think Vellum's feeling okay. He is feeling maybe a little bit more stable now that they kind of have a plan. Like, they kind of have a vague understanding of, like, okay, Josepha was in the Gatineau estate. Skylar's in the library. Sorrel's in the archive. Kind of putting the little pieces together of their to-do list. So it feels more actionable.
Yeah,
but it is still frustrating.
Right.
I think he really just wants to get Sorrel and leave and just go back to Yue Liang and rest for like a week. But things might get a little complicated before we can do that.
Yep.
Frustrated and tired.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ela Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverant as our host. You can chat with all of us and our lovely community in the Discord, linked in the episode description. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Supertri Studios. You can learn more and purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our midtro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Guest Plus Guest. All of these songs are by Louis Song, and they can be found at louisong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon! You can find us at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our show. You can also buy individual stories and episodes without being a subscriber if you prefer. Thank you for listening, and remember to have a lovely morning, afternoon, or evening.
Does hearing this, like, over and over again from different people, right? Like hearing Spar and Vellum discuss it and Max and now Gladia as well. Does any of that affect Ishbala?
What a good question that I'm going to write down and think about.
Great.
Cool.
Alrighty, everyone. I will talk to you. Wait, that's not how this works.
No. We need to do another clap for one.
Yeah. Bye. Episode's over now.
Okay, bye.